Hey there, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are online all the time at npr.org. Speaking of online, that's where all of y'all get on the computer, you look at stuff, you email it to people. Today you were emailing around some kind of sad stories, really. There's some sad stuff out there in the news, but we're going to tell you about it. We're going to do it in the most. Mike?
Yes? Hello?
First sad story?
Yeah. Well, this is about a guy who's set to be executed by the state of Georgia tomorrow, and his name is Curtis Osborne, small-time coke dealer and addict who killed two people over a $400 dispute. It is the most emailed story from Time.com, and the angle that they've centered on is this in the headline: if your lawyer wants you executed. That's right. At trial, this guy's lawyer said, I can't literally repeat what he said, but he used an ethnic slur and said that little, insert slur here, worst word in the English language, deserves the chair.
That's his lawyer?
Yeah, that's his lawyer.
Maybe it's some weird case for an appeal based on bad representation?
It's not a weird case for an appeal. That's exactly the point of the article, that even though this was put into evidence, all the appeals court says that doesn't counteract all the facts of the case, which is that he did it and deserves to die. And he is, as we said, scheduled to be executed tomorrow. First, totally unfunny story. Trisha.
Yeah, I got an unfunny one, too. This is one of the stories, one of the most popular stories at the New York Post today. And I've actually seen Tatum O'Neal's name up on Google Trends and everything else. So Tatum O'Neal, the actress I'm sure you've all heard by now, was arrested was arraigned yesterday, charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance. She was allegedly out to buy some crack cocaine. So
it was crack cocaine?
I think it was crack
cocaine. Yeah, everyone said crack.
Yeah.
Crack was in the title everywhere.
Yeah, there you go. So today's story in the Post is she tells the Post's Andrea Pizer exclusively.
She's columnist of the year, Andrea Pizer.
That the police who Tatum O'Neal tells Andrea Pizer that the police who arrested her saved her life, and she thanks them for doing it. So that's like a positive
way
outcome.
To find the silver lining to that.
Yeah, way to try to.
I guess she had some
time.
Events in her life that she says triggered. She's well known for having substance
child
abuse
stuff,
issues,
yeah.
And so she says something just triggered her, and she was out to ruin her life, and
yes,
the cops saved her.
Her love of crack is what triggered her. Mark,
all
what
the
do
best,
you have?
Tatum.
I have number one most emailed from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. There is a $50,000 reward for indisputable proof. That's their what they're asking for. That Pepe, the purported cousin to the Loch Ness monster, exists in Lake Pepin. This is just southeast of Minneapolis. $50,000. You need photos and skin or fins, and for DNA analysis. I don't know if they have other sea monsters they're going to compare to make sure this is an actual sea
DNA.
Lake monster. But I don't know. I'm torn, man,
because that if Pepe does exist, then you have to kill Pepe to get the evidence. Yeah.
Well, you can just snip it. You can just take a snip.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're riding Pepe,
I think if you duke it out with Pepe, only one of you comes back alive. That's just my thought.
The price you pay to get $50,000, yeah. Trish.
And how do they know he's the cousin of the Loch Ness monster?
The way they know is the person who is putting up this reward just happens to be not just a enthusiast of sea monsters, but he's also on the local tourism bureau.
So I see.
I'm just saying.
I just want to know why every deep lake has a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Loch Sheldrake up near my hometown in New York State has Shelley.
Shelley?
Yeah, Shelley. Because it's Loch.
Is it like an old Jewish guy?
If it's called Loch something, it has to have a monster in it.
It's cute names too, like Pepe, Nessie, Shelley.
Listen, I've been a monster before that guy in Scotland was a monster. I know monster. You don't tell me. Always with the fins, this one. That's Shelley. He's kind of grumpy. All right, Trisha.
I always thought Shelley was a girl, but thank you.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
no, Sheldon.
It could be
Sheldon,
like
the Machine Levine.
Never
yes.
thought of it. Okay, so I have one of the most popular stories from the Chicago Tribune. Again, a sad story. Paul Sills, who was one of the co-founders of Second City, the highly influential theater, passed away. He was 80 years old. And, without Paul Sills, I hate to kind of put his life in this context, but let's just say, without Paul Sills, there would have been no John Belushi, no Bill Murray, no Gilda Radner, no Stephen Colbert. some big names have come through. So he passed away.
Huge influence.
And actually, I guess I knew this, but I had forgotten. His mother her name was Viola Spolin, and she was a very influential improv actress too. She's written these books that everybody uses. So I guess think of Paul Sills and think of Viola Spolin. And you know, when you ask somebody, give me a profession, give me a location, and let the comedy ensue.
I think those people are geniuses.
They really are. It's so hard to do. I tried doing it in college, couldn't do it.
And when they battle and they just go up there, like two teams versus each other.
Whose Line Is It Anyway? One of my favorite all-time
shows.
Yeah,
that's a fun show.
I think that his funeral will go something like this. All right, give me a eulogy. Anyone, type a casket. Wood, anyone in the back? All right. Who's next?
Kaylee
Someone
Kenny.
I'm next. I got another sad one. Sorry, guys.
What a bummer.
This story is one of the most read at the Fresno Bee and the San Francisco Chronicle, and the headline is Buller High Valedictorian to Be Deported.
Wow,
yes.
Why?
Well, Arthur Moya, he has a 4.0 grade point average. He's valedictorian. He could enter one of the state's top universities. Unfortunately, he won't be going to college because he's going back to Armenia. His family fled the then Soviet Republic of Armenia, and they've been seeking asylum since 1992, but their appeals ran out last year. The U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE, came and picked up his father in April, and he's currently in a detention center. However, they allowed he and his mother to stay so that he could join his class at graduation and give his speech.
And
so
he has to go.
Yeah,
but
it's a pretty
sad story. Can he get a scholarship
story.
To a school that would sponsor him and take people from?
I don't know. There's definitely, but his lawyer's saying that this is just shows the need for Congress's DREAM Act, the act that would have allowed students who excelled in school and stayed out of trouble to become permanent residents to attend the college or enlist in the military. So a sad story. So hopefully it will work out for him and his family.
Okay, Ian, do you have a sad story?
Make it sad, Ian.
All right, I'm noticing some morale problems in here on the staff.
Aren't you the guy who decides what we read for the most?
Well, I can only work with what you give me.
That's true, that's true.
And we gave
what everyone else in America gave us. I mean, it's not our fault, people.
Okay, blame America.
Yep, blame America.
Rachel.
Yeah, well.
I'm gonna help out. Because things are much cheerier in India. I have a most viewed story from NPR. This was on All Things Considered yesterday. And India just concluded its first tournament of a new cricket league, which just made tons of money. This kind of reminds me of the XFL here, where they took something people loved, mixed it up, made it a little faster, a little shorter.
Although the regular NFL is pretty fast, whereas cricket can, when played regularly,
it can go on for days.
2.5 years.
Yes.
In your mind.
Anyway, but unlike the XFL, this new cricket has really caught on. It's become a national obsession, and NPR's Philip Reeves says it's also kind of a sign of changing times in India. Let's hear his piece.
It's a sultry evening in India's commercial capital, Mumbai. In a sports bar on the seafront, Abhishek James arrived for his daily fix, a beer and a game.
Honestly speaking, 3.5 weeks, every match I have watched. Every match. 8 p.m., I'm here to watch the match.
James single, in his early 30s, and in the diamond business.
When I come from my work, I'm tired. Fine, have one beer, 3 hours of match, excitement done, body is rested, that's it, go home and sleep, that's it.
James scrutinizes one of the bar's giant screens. The game's warming up nicely. Players in brightly colored uniforms are diving about. This is yet to produce the fix Jane came for, but he's hopeful tonight's game will deliver. This new form of cricket generally does.
It's trendy, it's hip, it's fast, it's furious, and it produces a result. It's what they call the fatafat version of cricket.
That's Ayaz Memon, a Mumbai newspaper editor.
The fatafat, instant. Here and now, instant gratification.
Officially, the game's called 2020 cricket. It's very different from those five-day games played at glacial speed by white-clad men who take breaks for tea and sandwiches. 2020 games last a maximum of 3.5 hours. There's always a winner. The Indian Premier League, or IPL, was put together remarkably quickly. Earlier this year, the governing body of Indian cricket auctioned 8 franchises. The who's who of India pounced. The Bollywood superstar Shah Rukh Khan and vastly wealthy industrialists Mukesh Ambani and Vijay Mallya were among those who bought teams. Cricketing superstars were recruited from India and around the world, including Pakistan. In a matter of weeks, a massively lucrative business had been created, serving as testimony, says Memon, to the way India's changing.
In many ways, the IPL is a statement to, as I see it, to the rest of the world, that India has arrived.
Sujata Mehta's battling through the crowds on her way to watch a game with her 18-year-old daughter. The Indian Premier League's tapped into a new demographic, young people and women. Mehta says she wasn't interested in cricket before. She is now.
It is the excitement, let me be frank, and that's it.
You've got a husband?
Oh, yes.
He's here, right?
No, he's not here. I don't like to watch match with husband.
Why not?
No, he likes to be at home with his beer.
Groups of beggars and itinerants gather by the stadium, as if drawn to the light, like moths. They can't afford tickets to the game, but they found a way of making money out of it. Tiny, grubby, barefooted children sell bottles of water. This is a scam. You're not allowed to take bottled water into the ground. The cops confiscate the bottles and give them to the kids, who sell them back to the arriving crowds. Then the police confiscate the bottles again. Inside, the stadium's crammed full. The high and mighty from Bollywood, industry and politics, some of whom flew in by private jet, are in the hospitality boxes. But on the terraces, the crowd's feverishly excited. A Bollywood number strikes up. The crowd starts dancing. A gyrating clump of eager-eyed men pushes up against the perimeter fence. A few feet away, on the other side, four women cheerleaders are prancing about, waving pom-poms and tossing their hair. To spice things up, cheerleaders were brought in from Europe and the US, including a troop from the Washington Redskins. At first, they were scantily clad. There was an outcry from India's conservatives, and after that, the girls put on a few more clothes. These women aren't particularly raunchily dressed. They look like track athletes warming up. All the same, their fans seem enthralled.
Hi, I'm Shishir Joshi. I'm from Mumbai. I love cricket. I love Bollywood.
Shishir Joshi, editorial director of a multimedia company, wasn't expecting the India Premier League's first tournament to be so wildly successful. But his media outlets ended up giving it the same sort of treatment they're planning for the Olympic Games.
All our mathematics have had to be reworked. Nobody anticipated how big it would be.
The cricket overshadowed major world events, such as the Chinese earthquake and Myanmar cyclone. TV ratings for the nightly games went through the roof, outperforming soap operas and reality shows. Back in the sports bar on the seafront, the game's reaching its climax. This is the final. Rajasthan Royals are playing the Chennai Super Kings. That's the diamond dealer Abhishek Jain's unusual way of indicating he's enjoying himself. The scores are agonizingly close. A batsman slogs the ball into the crowd. The game's finally given Jain his fix.
Woo! Hey, Jain! That's it! You know what? It's working!
That was NPR's Philip Reeves reporting. For a link to that story and all the stories you heard on the most today, go to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.